Recently on the Wastewaters podcast, you heard my dad say...
Agent X is probably screaming at the radio, and so is Testone right now, with the exact date and time that it launched, and they were in the beta version, so it was sometime around then. Hello, agents, trainers, pilots, keepers, eighth wallers, and our beloved explorers and wayfinders. Welcome to episode number 111 of the Wayspotters podcast. Here at Wayspotters, we want to do everything we can to help you become a better wayfinder, and that includes what we've always said: we want to educate, entertain, and excite. Wayspotters is brought to you by the good people at the Pokemon Professor Network, and today is March the 1st. Is it March already? 2024, and we're looking forward to a really, really good show. But before we do that, let's check in on Chris. What's going on, my guy?
Not too much, buddy. How you doing?
I'm wearing a suit for those of you watching on YouTube. So I had to go into my orientation for my new job today, and my new work attire is going to be sport jackets, dress shirts, and ties, and slacks, and uncomfortable shoes that look cute but don't feel cute. How about that?
Yeah. Yeah, you look snazzy, though. You look good. Yeah,
thank you. For those that don't know, I am now a licensed insurance agent in the state of North Carolina. So if you need life insurance or health insurance or accident insurance, I'm your guy. But there's a whole other podcast about that now. We are here to talk about Wayfarer. And it's kind of fortuitous, Chris, that we are recording this show a little bit later because we got some news from Niantic about the ambassadors. So... before we go into that, let's hear from our buddy Testone with the news drop.
And now, the latest Niantic news from the Wayspotters podcast, presented by the Pokemon Professor Network.
I'm going to loosen myself up because we got a lot of news. Typically, I kind of rush through the news, so I'm not railroading the show, but we got some important bits that have happened in the last week, so bear with us as we go through all this. First, it seems that for a little while there, nominations that Niantic pulled into voting for themselves were disappearing from Wayfarer's contribution lists, like just completely. They were just gone, vanished. And a bunch of people posted on the forum, and some of the Niantic people were like, yeah, it's functioning as intended. It'll show back up. And then eventually someone was like, oh, I think it was Tintino. I was like, we're looking into this because that's not actually what's supposed to happen. And then somebody posted yesterday asking what that in voting with the Niantic Lightship logo meant. So I don't know if they fixed it.
Right.
Because they haven't said that they fixed it, but the fact that it showed up for him or them is promising. So keep an eye on it. You have something that you're sure you nominated and it's gone out of your contribution list. Niantic took it and it should appear back in once they're done with their in voting. So. Yeah, that's not even the worst thing that's happened from Niantic this week. Emily has gone rogue, and it's rejecting perfectly good edits left, right, and center. Like, it's bad. To start off, One Star Rejects on Twitter posted a picture of an edit that they got, and it said that it's two descriptions. Little Free Library installed 2017 charter number blah. And the other one is the exact same description, only there's a dash in between the period after 2017 and the start of the word charter. So he's like, come on, Niantic. Your bot can fix this. Like, that's just
right.
Like, make this better. And the tip sites, we're working on it. You should see an improvement on edits, especially minor modifications like capitalization or punctuation, to be processed automatically. And I think what happened was they flicked the switch and Emily went, No, you get a rejection. You get a rejection.
Right, you get a rejection, yeah.
So there's a big thread on the forums. Antar Goafa posted on the forums saying, hey, a bunch of Japanese people have been gotten like a bunch of their edits from 3 or 4 years ago is rejected. What's going on? And then a bunch of people were like, yeah, me too. Tintino replied this afternoon, so after we would have finished recording, so... fortuitous marker number two.
Yes.
Hello, explorers. Thank you for your feedback and apologize for the inconvenience. Please know that we are looking into this matter and we'll get back to you when more is known. So this is just to show you how widespread this is. Outgoing Wayfarer ambassador alum, I guess, now that the new cohort has been announced. Foreshadowing. friend of the show posted a laundry list. And when I say a laundry list, there was 20 of his edits that were rejected, and they were all perfectly legitimate.
Mm-hmm.
I had one too that I posted at 3 o'clock in the morning last night, and I had to wait till this morning for it to get approved to go on the forums because it has pictures. Right. Yeah, there's a lot of people who are just like, this is ridiculous. So,
I had an edit come back from 2021, and I have no idea what the edit was. And I shared it with you, and I was like, October 18th, 2021. No idea what it got denied. So we'll see.
See, this is where my spreadsheet will come in clutch.
Yes, for sure.
But even Testone was saying in the Discord, he's like, it might have been the Discord, it might have been the forums. He has a spreadsheet for his, but like, what happens if you did 20 trail markers on a trail that all have the exact same title before?
Right. Like, how are you going to know? Because yeah, how would you know which one it is?
Yeah. So yeah. Emily, what are you doing? This one's pretty big. So if Testone himself had 20, you gotta imagine there's probably a significant number of these edits that have been rejected that Niantic realistically is gonna have to sift through. I don't know. Like, here's the thing, right? Can they go back? And I would hope that they would have a log where Emily was just writing all of the stuff that she's doing.
Because, right? For example, if Testone had to go back and resubmit all 20 edits, who knows? I mean, he's not. I'm not going to go back to the one I submitted because I don't even remember what I submitted. So
yeah. Like, so, and then now you're waiting another 2 years for these edits to come. Like, what's the point, right?
For sure.
Like,
yeah.
You feel so dejected at that point. Mine was, there's a little park. It's actually a parkette. Like, the city calls it a parkette, but the title of the way I saw it was park. It was like Cecil B. Found Park. So I changed it from Cecil B. Found Park to Cecil B. Found Parkette,
which
it's a parkette. On their official website, which is what, like, if you go to Google Maps, it says it on Google Maps, parkette. And if you go into Street View, you can see the sign clear as day says parkette project. Like, but it's in an area that I hardly ever go to. It's like a half hour away. I just happened to be there. So am I going to get back up there and do that edit again? Probably not.
Yeah.
Good thing, I'm going to try this weekend to do it.
Yeah, I was going to say, good thing there's no edits like up at the cabin or anything. So then you would have been like really out of luck.
I got a bunch that are from around that time that, fingers crossed, they don't reject. Like, I would assume that Tintino kind of took Emily's edit ability away from her.
Her privileges were restricted.
Privileges have been revoked.
Emily's in timeout, kids. Emily's in timeout.
Yeah. So if you had some edits rejected by Emily in the last week or so, my recommendation is don't touch them. Don't go redo them. Leave it for now. Hopefully Niantic can, at the very least, start to quickly kind of work through these. And you would think that if Emily rejected, they're fairly cut and dry, right? So it's a lot to
go through. I mean, you would think, you know, well, maybe we'll have to reach out to Emily this week and see if we can get a couple of quick sound bites from her. So she was notoriously quiet this week just because she was busy rejecting all the edits. So who knows? Who knows? What other news do you have for us?
One more thing, and save this one for last. The new cohort of ambassadors has been announced.
Yes, that's right.
And there are some names that some of our listeners will recognize. And there's some names that will ping in our listeners' ears because they're probably listening. We're going to talk about them. So let's go through, and I'll go through and I'll just name them off, and then we will have a little quick chat about the ones that we recognize, because there's a bunch here that I don't recognize.
Yeah, okay, let's go.
There's a couple that I recognize, I just don't know much about them. So if you are a Wayfarer ambassador and you're listening, as we always say, this is your invitation. First of all, welcome. Congratulations on being chosen. And this is your invitation to come on the show once you get settled and get your feet wet and sign your NDA and have Niantic give you a big spiel on what you can and can't discuss.
We're such hardcore journalists.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So here's the thing. It's, and we've said this to every single guest that you've ever had on the show. We're not about gotcha questions. We share our list of questions that we have with our guests prior to even starting recording. We share them in like days in advance.
Yes. Right?
So you guys can kind of sift through the questions, say, hey, yeah, I can answer this, I can answer that. So I don't really feel like I want to talk about that. I cannot answer this one. And we won't even ask. Like if you say that you can't ask it, we won't ask, bro.
100%.
All right. Tintino said this afternoon, and so here's the thing. This was posted like 3 hours after, or right about when we were normally finished recording. So it's pretty fortuitous that they push our recording here. Hello, Explorers. We are extremely excited to announce and welcome our new Cohort 3 Wayfair Ambassadors for 2024. We invited and are welcoming 12 new ambassadors to the program for a total of 24 ambassadors spread around the globe. Please join me in congratulating them as you read more about why they chose to become an ambassador and what they're looking forward to being most about being a Wayfair ambassador. And don't worry, more about Cohort 1 at the end. Now, without further ado, I introduce you to Cohort 3. So first is Bread. They are from Germany. He's Bread with various A's on the internet. It says,
love that.
Most people just refer to me as Bread. They started Wayfair in 2019. So they've been around for a while.
Yeah. The next one we have is Carol Figueroa, RS. And Carol is from Brazil, beginning their fourth-ish year when they started playing Pogo and living in a small town with 30 Pokestops. And we're looking forward to interacting with Carol Figueroa RS.
Absolutely. Next is Dualarca. They are from Mexico. So we got three different countries so far. Mm-hmm. They've been a Pokemon trainer since day one. So that's 2016. That's hardcore right there, buddy. Good job. Yeah. When Pogo players first got access, they learned how to propose and evaluate. So yeah, they've been around since 2019. Same as me.
Yeah, right on. The next one is a name that you all will recognize. Elf from Space. Elf from Space was recently on the show. Elf from Space is a friend of the show and is in our Discord. And Elf from Space says, hello. My interest in Wayfair comes from the love of exploration, travel, and photography. Elf from Space has been playing Pokemon Go since 2016 and involved in Wayfair since 2018 when they started playing Ingress to submit new murals as Pokestops. So really cool. We love Elf from Space. Elf from Space was also one of the voices you heard. If you heard the season 3 show with the little bit we did with the airplane pilots and the stewardesses, Elf from Space was one of those voices that you heard. So
that's right. That's right. Next, we have Mega Trainer Red. They are from Spain. They've been playing since 2016, and they started Wayfair in 2019 when it was released in Spain. So looking forward to interacting with them.
Yeah, that's another new country. So we're 5 for 5 right now. And now we're about to go 6 for 6 with Pauling Zubat. Pauling Zubat is from the Philippines. They've had interest in mapping and exploration and Wayfair as another motivation to scout interesting things from the places that they visit. So they are looking forward to the Wayfair's team upcoming surprises and hoping to give feedback and contribute where they can. So looking forward to talking more and getting to know Pauling Zubat.
Absolutely. Next, another name you're going to recognize, friend of the show and brand new Wayfair ambassador, Saramanda. Saramanda is from Georgia in the U.S. They play Pogo, Monster Hunter Now, Ingress, and Pikmin Bloom. Hashtag justice for Pikmin Bloom kind of was born out of Saramanda's frustration with the
for sure
map not being synced. So they say Wayfair has become my favorite Niantic game, and they decided to become a Wayfair ambassador so they could give back to the community in a different way. So welcome aboard, Saramanda.
Yeah. And another name that you'll recognize, Shifil, was also one of the voices you heard in the airplane bit. So they are from Western New York, along the north coast of the United States. They are delighted to be a Wayfair ambassador because they enjoy exploration above all. So they've been playing Pokemon Go since launch. And Ingress started playing Ingress pre-Wayfair also to submit new stops. So looking forward to interacting more with Sheffield. So welcome.
Absolutely. North coast of Western New York State is, I can see that from the beach in my hometown. So that is nice. Super close to where I am. Next, Spirit Gold. And Spirit Gold is from West Midlands in the United Kingdom. They have chosen to become a Wayfair ambassador to assist other players in guiding them on how they can successfully nominate their own Wayspots into the game. Since the day I completed my first nomination with guidance from the online community, I was instantly hooked on the idea of Wayfair's mission. So that's great.
That's amazing. Amazing. And the next one is kind of a throwback as far as the Wayspotters podcast goes. Trollfarer, someone that we had on in season one.
Mm-hmm.
Trollfarer is from the western parts of Norway. Think Norway hacker. Think submitting POIs on mountaintops. They love exploring new areas, especially on mountains. Love to visit areas that they have not been to, even if it's just a rural village. Wayfair is basically a perfect tool for them, and we are looking forward to interacting more with Trollfarer. So welcome.
Absolutely. Next, another name you're going to recognize. This keeps a theme with this cohort of ambassadors.
Yeah, for sure.
Woodwas Wolf. They live on the outskirts of Sydney, Australia. They've been a trainer since the Pokemon Go field test. Before that, their first game was Ingress. We lovingly refer to Wood as the Yoda of open street maps.
For sure.
Grandmaster Pooba of all things open street maps.
That's right.
He's a master at Wayfarer too. So I'm super, super happy to see that he got through as one of the ambassadors.
And I will say this, not only am I allowed to call Wood by his God-given name, his government name, which I won't say here, but I am allowed to call him by his government name. He also has been big on cracking down on abuse in open street maps, which then helps prevent abuse in other Niantic games. So that's another feather in his cap. All right, and last but not least, I'm very excited about this one, Little Pound Cake. So if you guys remember a while back, we had Little Pound Cake on the show. And Little Pound Cake is one of the smartest people I know. So they said they're Cleveland, Ohio's proudest Wayfarer and full-time nerd. They applied to be a Wayfarer ambassador because they wanted to build the community, bridge gaps in knowledge, and help and understanding. So Little Pound Cake, if you guys don't know, is a legit doctor. Little Pound Cake has a PhD in English. So if you're looking for someone to help you write your descriptions and supplemental information, you don't come to me, you can go to Little Pound Cake. So very, very excited to have Little Pound Cake round out cohort 3 of the Wayfair Ambassadors for 2024. Very, very exciting. And I think we have a little bit of news about what's going to happen with cohort 1. Chris, you want to take that?
Yes, I will take that. So now we've introduced our new cohort. What will become of cohort 1? We're excited to continue having cohort 1 within our circles of influence. We have developed such a fruitful alliance and welcome them to continue as ambassador alums. While they will not be participating in the weekly monthly activities, when and where necessary, we will invite them into the conversation and experiences to continue making improvements that will make your Wayfarer experience better. So it sounds like they'll keep them kind of off in the background, and then when they feel it's appropriate, they'll bring them in.
Yeah, exactly. That's awesome. That's amazing. So welcome to all the newest Wayfair ambassadors. Again, like Chris said, this is your open invitation anytime you want to come on the show. Chris and I are not hard to find. We're kind of on the internet and on YouTube and on Twitter. No, anyways, so yeah, this is your open invitation, and we've had a good half a dozen of you on the show prior, so you are always welcome back to come on the show. And to all of the ambassador alums, Testone, and any of the other ones who would like to come back on the show, you are more than welcome to come back on the show again. We want to be part of the Wayfarer community. We want to be kind of the voice of the Wayfarer community. So anybody that wants to say anything about Wayfarer, hit us up. We'll do some business. Right, yeah, Chris, you with that?
Absolutely. Coming on the show seems to be a good luck charm for getting into the Wayfarer.
It sure does. Yeah.
You want to be an ambassador. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is the ticket, right?
There's a couple of people that we need to have on this season then, for sure. You know who I'm talking about.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Apparently it doesn't work for hosts because I applied to be a fan. But if you're a guest, then right. You're basically a shoo-in.
So you should have applied.
I'm pretty sure every single guest that we had on that applied got in.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah. All right. Let's see how we do this season. Yeah. All right. So we don't run too long. Let's go ahead and jump into topic number one.
Topic number one.
All right. So topic number one, this is a topic that we had on the books to do a couple of weeks ago. And then we looked up and we were like an hour deep already. And we were like, all right, let's scrap it. So we'll bring it back now. So are upgrades worth it? Should you, do you write your descriptions differently when you're planning to upgrade? All right, so you guys all know I have this weird love affair with upgrades, and then I don't. And then it all comes down to nuance, right? Something I think Wayfair has a lot of trouble with across the board. And consistency. Yeah, that too. So here are my thoughts. Upgrades can be great, or they can suck out loud, depending on what you're using them on. And again, it's kind of my opinion. But coming from my area that historically had a very large backlog containing a black hole, upgrades can either be KOD, the kiss of death, or BFH, blessing from heaven. Now, Chris, here's my thought process. When I'm planning out my nominations and I think to myself, am I going to upgrade this at any point in the future? If I think that answer is yes, then I seriously start to think a little bit differently about how I'm going to write the description and supporting information. And I'm wondering, do you do the same? Now, before you answer, let me back up a little bit for those of you who may be new listeners. My area is historically slow, to say the least. When it comes to review time, months. And even worse, before the challenge, sometimes many, many months. So to get anything through in a timely fashion and to get it on the map, I would have to rely on upgrades. Now, some of you out there have not had this experience. Good on you. Good on Chris. Good on Aquablast64. Good on all of you. Good on scrounging me out. Screw all you. All of you, right? That's not my experience. That's your experience. Chris's nominations have like a 2 to 3 week turnaround time. Right, Chris?
This is true. I nominated a restaurant on my birthday next to the coffee shop that I went to on my birthday, and it's already in voting. So,
wow.
I have some stuff that I've nominated in Toronto 2 or 3 months ago that's still in queue. So
that
area, 100%. So when I go outside of my normal area, then I'm in your world,
right?
With my turnaround times, but like within, I want to say, hold on, let me do the math to miles. 10 or 20 miles of my house, maybe 15 miles. It's pretty good. Right. And if I go, I can go north almost all the way to my parents' place, like 2 hours north. And it's just rural priority is taking over. But as soon as I get into Toronto, then you're pooched with your turnaround time. So I very rarely use upgrades.
For those of you watching on YouTube, you should have seen the smoke coming out of Chris's ears when he was converting kilometers to miles. He was like, I saw it.
You know, it's funny. I mentioned this on the Zoom call, not to derail the conversation, but
yeah.
when I'm on the Zoom call, I always have the conversion open on my desktop because you guys talk about miles so much and like Imperial, I have to like type it in and be like, what the hell is that?
Oh, okay. And remember, we also had a conversation about degrees. Yep, and someone said the temperature and you're like, oh, 25? You're like, that's not bad. Oh, you guys are talking Fahrenheit. That was hilarious. I almost fell out of my seat when you said that. So, So the advice I've given to my locals who've asked me is to think differently about how you write your nominations. Because if you're going to use an upgrade, it's going to widen the area, right? So let me just break this down. An upgrade doesn't make anything go through faster. What it does is it gets more eyeballs on your nomination. So instead of the little box that of people that normally view your nomination and vote on it, it's going to go to a much wider area. In some areas, it could be an entire country, right? If you live in a smaller country, or even if you live in the U.S., I live in Charlotte, and I've had people who live many states away say, hey, was this yours? And I'm like, dang, how do you know that was mine? They're like, oh, we know how you write your descriptions. Anyhow, it widens the area of reviewers from the normal range. So people outside of the Carolinas will be seeing mine. So if it's something super nuanced, they might not get it. They might not understand the local cultural reference, similar to my barbershop debacle, which, by the way, is still going on.
Mm-hmm.
So I truly believe reviewers from outside of your area are looking at your nomination through a different lens than what your locals are. So when you see a nomination that you are much more familiar with the area, the slang, the geography, and to be honest, the vibe. Now, Chris, have you worded your nominations differently if you were going to upgrade them? I know you don't use a lot, but let's say you're nominating something in the train station or in Toronto and you're going to use an upgrade. Do you take that into account or do you just kind of YOLO?
Absolutely. So if I'm planning on upgrading something, then I am absolutely different about how I put together my supporting information. My title and my description, they're basically the same regardless of whether or not I'm going to upgrade it or not. But my supporting information, I go way harder in trying to sell the nomination if I'm going to upgrade it. Because here's the thing, right? You think if you're local and you're reviewing local, you know your local area well enough to know, maybe I haven't seen it directly, because if you're going to see it, you're probably going to nominate it, right? But you can know your local area enough to say, yeah, I can see that being there. Or I recognize that house or that structure that's in that area, and now I can kind of put it together. And you just don't necessarily need to sell it to your locals the way you would someone two states or two provinces away.
Exactly. So, for example, Brooks Sandwich Shop in Charlotte. You've never heard of Brooks Sandwich Shop, but if you've been in Charlotte for more than 48 hours, you've heard of Brooks Sandwich Shop. And it's just one of those, it's one of those places that, like, if you come to Charlotte, someone's got to take you there. Like, for example, when Justin co-hosts a Special Conditions, find him wherever you can find your podcast. Justin hosts a Special Conditions. He and his fiance came to Charlotte, and I took them to Pinky's West Side Grill and had the world famous banana pudding. You've heard about this. It's just one of those places. So if Pinky's opened up a new locations and someone nominated Pinky's, you're like, oh yeah, Pinky's. But you would be like, the hell's Pinky's? Like, I don't know. So someone would need, if they were going to upgrade that in their supporting information, be super detailed, because Chris in Canada, who doesn't know about Pinky's in Charlotte, may very well come across that nomination. And I think this is where I erred with my barbershop. I wasn't nearly as clear in my nomination as to why it should be accepted as a cultural place to go instead of just a generic barbershop. So my advice to my locals has been, hey, if you are going to use an upgrade because you want it to go through faster, and that's kind of a misnomer, it doesn't go through faster. Please don't think an upgrade bumps it to the front of the line. All it does is it gets more eyeballs on the nomination. So let's just say, and I've used this number for a few shows, so we'll stick with it. Let's just say it takes 100 votes. It doesn't. Well, I don't know if it does. But let's just say it takes 100 votes for something to go through. This is going to get you the 100 votes, quote unquote, faster than it would going through your normal locals. More people are going to see it quicker, which is why upgrades are processed faster. It doesn't speed anything up. It just gets more people to vote on it sooner.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't lower the amount of votes that it needs to get to resolution. It's just, you get more votes quicker.
Right.
Right. So it just, it's gives it the illusion that it's going through faster. Cause I mean, technically it does go faster, but
an upgrade that's not the best way to explain it. Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't guarantee that it'll go through faster, because I have things to upgrade take way longer.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. So what I've told my locals is just be wary. And I've used my most recent couple of examples of reasons. They're like, oh, you host the podcast, you should know this. And I'm like, hey, I'm human, I make mistakes. I wasn't planning to upgrade this, but then I realized this is going to create a new gym in Pokemon Go, so let me upgrade it. And then like 45 minutes later, it gets rejected for generic business. And I'm like, wait, what? What just happened here? Mm-hmm. You know? So some things I am willing to let them sit for 6 months because I want it to go through, because you guys all know my fight with upgrades. I get it and I burn it. I use it. And then like people like Chris have like, wait, let me guess. 45 upgrades.
70.
Oh my God. 70?
I just got back to 70. Yep. Yep.
That is just that's obnoxious. 70.
Every time, as soon as I read the show notes, I'm like, he's gonna ask me how many upgrades I've got.
You can barely even use all of them.
You know what's funny is I upgraded basically everything that was still in queue in Midland, so I used about 7 or 8 of them.
Oh my god! And
I'm back to 70. So
I derail my own show every time. It's my fault. It's my fault. I derail my own show.
You know what? What would be worse if one day you ask me how many upgrades I have and I go, I have 0.
Right, yeah. You might fall out of your chair. Then everybody in your province is going to be doing the happy dance because there's like 50 new gyms and 70 new stops and all this stuff. Yeah. So I don't know. If you're listening to this podcast, that's my advice to you. That's what I tell the locals. That's what I tell myself is if you think at all you're going to upgrade it, just make sure that you have taken into account that people outside of your normal voting area are going to see it. And if there's anything super nuanced about it, make sure you spell that nuance in there. Remember, Laz, I'm going to be consistent. I hate that we have to sell it, but I agree that you should explain what the reviewer is looking at. So that's what I'm doing now. I'm being a lot more diligent. Well, I only have one. No, actually, yeah, I have one upgrade right now, so I don't have to worry about that. But I'm not salty about that either. But that would be my advice is take into account the audience that you're going to have reviewing it. And what one of my locals told me was, he's like, Jamal, I'm just going to write all of my submitting or supporting information like I'm going to upgrade it. So later on, if I decide to upgrade it, I don't have to worry about it. I'm like, you know what? That's good. That's really good. And I need to do that too. But sometimes I just get a little excited and write my nomination in the field. And then I forget to change it when I get home. Instead of doing what Sarah Amanda told me to do in Testone, just put hashtag hold. And that way it'll go into hold. And then when I get home, I can go in and fix it. So,
yeah,
that's what I have for episode number one. I'll give you the last word on it, Chris.
And we did a whole episode about supporting information that will be right here. If you want to click on it and you can watch that too. So I think it's a good habit to get into is to just put your supporting information. It's just sell the hell out of your nomination, regardless of whether or not you're going to upgrade it or not. It's probably a good habit to get into. Unless it's like a basketball court or whatever, and then those are slam dunks, pun intended.
I was gonna say you made a pun there. You made a pun. All right, let's go on to topic number two.
Topic number two.
All right, so topic number two is titled "Hello, Are You Out There?" So Chris and I throw around ideas all week about what we want to discuss on the show each week, and then we put the show together. So this week I did something a little bit different. I posted in our Discord and asked, what would you guys like to hear us talk about? Because Chris and I talk into this microphone and then we look at the numbers and we're like, oh, people really liked it. A lot of people listened to it. People didn't really like it. A lot of people didn't listen to it. For the most part, the listenership is pretty consistent and everybody listens and we love that. But that doesn't necessarily mean that we are talking about the things that you guys who are listening or watching this necessarily want to hear. And one of the things that we have been like pretty steadfast on is we want to be the podcast of the people, for the people, by the people. So from time to time, we are going to say, hey, what do you guys want to hear about? We'll talk about it. And we'll be pretty diligent to running down the information that we need. So I put in the Discord this week, what do you guys want to hear us talk about? And Chris, it generated a lot of really good like comments and thoughts and discussion. Some people were like, could you talk about other Niantic games such as Pokemon Go or Ingress more? And some people were like, no, don't talk about Pokemon Go. Some people were like, don't talk about Ingress. Keep it to Wayfarer. Some people were like, talk about what you did this week. Some people were like, don't talk about what you did this week. So a lot of really good things. Anything you want to say on that, Chris?
Yeah, I mean, it's nice to see that there's the kind of the wide range of things that people want to hear us talk about, right? And it's always, if people have major topics they want us to kind of cover, and it's a lot of people are not shy about tagging us and being like, hey, did you guys see this? Or did you hear about this? Or this is happening, right? Mm-hmm. Winnie tagged us in one of our chats and was like, hey, did you notice? Did you see the ambos? And we're like, yeah, don't worry. We're going to talk about it.
Yeah, we're on it.
I appreciate it because there's times that I missed stuff. And Sarah Amanda a couple of times has been like, hey, did you see that? And I'm like, I did not.
So right.
It's love to have, we have that people in our corner like that.
For sure. And I want to specifically call out our friend out in DFW, Lucifer, who has been extremely diligent about giving Chris and I a play-by-play of their actions and what they're going on. And we are planning an entire episode highlighting some of the Wayfarers in the Dallas-Fort Worth episode. So stay tuned for that. But Lucifer is always hitting us up on X or Twitter or whatever we're calling it these days, and on Discord letting us know what's going on. So we do appreciate the people out in the field kind of letting us know what we should know. And if we missed it, then we'll talk about it. So Chris, what I want to do real quick is play in a voicemail. So after I put that message in the Discord, we got this voicemail from Sarah Amanda, and I want to play it real quick.
Hey, Wee Spotters. Sarah Amanda here. I just came back from my 1 week vacation in Asheville, North Carolina. It wasn't in the original plan, but I ended up actually playing some of the Pogo Senator event there. While wandering around their downtown, I ended up merging with a group of their locals. And I'm not sure how it came up, but I learned that their group leader actually did a ton of Wayfair years ago, getting through about one third of their pokey things, like their poke stops there. So I was like, oh my gosh, that's actually the same for me. Because like I counted it recently. It was like one in three of the stuff in my downtown area was submitted by me. And so then we were just geeking out and sharing our stats, and it was a lot of fun. Anyway, I was just wondering, do you have any stories of ever randomly bumping into a Wayfair person out of your normal area? That's all. Peace. Sarah Amanda.
So thank you, Sarah Amanda. That was really, really kind of timely. We actually put this show together before we knew Sarah Amanda was going to be a Wayfair ambassador. So now it's just like, we're just really good at foreshadowing and forecasting. Like, we're excellent at it. But to Sarah Amanda's question, I've had this happen a couple of times. I haven't really gone a lot of places outside of GoFest, Safari Zone, but I was in Portland, Oregon. I took a trip to Portland, Oregon. I took two trips to Portland, Oregon to visit my mom, one in July and one in August. And both times I flew through Denver, Colorado. It's just, you know, you leave Charlotte, you land in Denver, you take off from Denver, you go to Portland. And one of the trips I took Addison and one of the trips I took Avery. And on the trip I took Addison, we actually went to Lakewood, Colorado to go see the restaurant that's in South Park. The pink one, I'm drawing a blank. Casa Bonita. We took a train to a bus and then took an Uber and then walked and went to Casa Bonita. And when we were there, I was taking her picture and I was playing Pokemon Go, and someone walked up to me and was like, hey, you playing Pokemon Go? I was like, yeah. And they were like, you see this Pokestop here? I was like, yeah. They were like, I put this in the game. And I was like, what? They were like, you submitted this Casa Bonita and got it in the game, and they pulled up their Wayfair and showed me upgrade accept. And I'm like, you do Wayfair? And they were like, yeah. And I'm like, I do Wayfair. And they were like, really? And I'm like, I do a podcast about Wayfair. So my daughter is like, dad, Casa Bonita. And I'm over here geeking out with this person about Wayfair, and it was really cool. They didn't have a whole lot of nominations. They kind of did it in the early times, 2019, when Pokemon Go, in the early days when OPR came out, when you could get things in, and then they hadn't done anything in a while because Casa Bonita had been in there for a hot minute. But it was kind of cool just to randomly bump into somebody who we originally were talking about Casa Bonita and Pokemon Go, and then they were like, kind of like, that was their claim to fame. So I think I have a couple things in Charlotte that I would consider my claim to fame that are like Charlotte landmarks that I got in there. So that's my story, Sarah Amanda. Hopefully that works for you. Chris, you got anything?
That's amazing. I've never ran into anybody who specifically has done Wayfair, really. I've ran into a lot of Pogo players. I ran into some people in New York who recognized me from the podcast, so they're obviously Wayfarers, but outside of kind of New York GoFest, I've ran into people who were like, I wear my sweater, right? And they're like, oh, that's Wayfair. Is that like Wayspotters? Is that like Wayfair? Is that the putting the Pokestops in? I was like, yeah. I go, that one's mine. That one's mine. So I've had people be like, hey, go here. Go go to this park. There's a bunch of stuff there. I'm like, well, I could teach you how to do it. And they're like, nah, could you just do it? I'm like, sure. Right. I've had that happen a few times, but
yeah.
Other than that, I've never raised here.
You're being modest. You got recognized in New York. People were like, I know who you are.
Yes. A couple times. Yeah. That was,
yeah. It was crazy. Outside of the, where were we? The Nintendo shop, and then you walked away, and you came back. You're like, "Oh, those people knew who I was."
Yeah, you went. You went into the Lego shop with Trainer Mystic, and I went out to take a picture of a sushi restaurant, I think.
Yeah,
something like that. And on the way up there, I got recognized by a few people.
Yep. And I don't know. It's just kind of cool to be recognized. We were in Bryant Park, and someone was like, "Hey, it's the Wavefathers," and we were like, "Hey," and we took a picture. And next thing you know, the picture's on Twitter. And my wife was like, I saw a picture of you on Twitter. I'm like, there's probably a bunch. I've been posting. She's like, nope, somebody else posted it and tagged you. And I'm like, really? Ooh. Let me screenshot this.
Yeah.
No, but I would love to bump into more people randomly doing Wayfarer. I think that would be the coolest thing, to just be like, hey, what do you do? Why are you taking that picture? Take it from this angle. And I'd be out there like, here, turn your hips this way. Get the shadow this way. Now, what are you writing from the description? So, no. But, Sarah Amanda, thank you for not only writing in the Discord, but sending us a voicemail. And we would love to hear from other people. Like I said, if you guys send us something, we'll find a way to work it in the show. And literally, Sarah Amanda sent that voicemail in like 48 hours ago. And I'm like, all right, I'm finding a way to put it in the show. So we will definitely do that. So we appreciate the interaction with you guys. And, you know, especially the Wayfarer ambassadors, but also the patrons and just regular old people. And we really appreciate it. So, yep.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Now, Chris, before we go to break, we need to bring something up on the screen. Do you have that graphic?
Let me bring it up.
So if you guys are not watching this on YouTube, you've got to find the bookmark for this and come to YouTube. So we're going to do our best to explain this to the audio listeners. But aside from naming your children and picking your spouse, this has got to be one of the toughest decisions that I think a person can make. So if you're looking at the screen right now, there's four candy bars on the screen. In the upper left is a Kit Kat. In the upper right is a Twix. In the lower left is a Reese's peanut butter cup. And in the lower right is a Snickers. One has got to go. Chris, which one's got to go?
Okay, so I am a chocolate guy. I love sweets. I have a big sweet tooth. So I've prepared a special answer just for this question. I have the audio on my phone here, so hopefully everybody can see it. So, there you go. That's my answer. How about no?
How about no? Oh, so you want to keep all four?
If you absolutely put a gun to my head and said you have to pick, it would be Kit Kat.
Ooh, that's where I'm leaning also. It would be Kit Kat. Now, there's one reason why I might leave Kit Kat in, and it's a story that was told by GoCast Chris. And he tells a story about he and Kyle were talking about how they eat a Kit Kat. Well, first of all, let me ask you this. How do you eat Kit Kats?
I just bite into them.
Bite it like the whole thing, like all four at once? Okay. Yep. Yeah. That was basically what they were talking about. And it's pretty interesting. So I don't disagree with that. I mean, you don't have to break out to get, you know, for me, it's going to be Kit Kat. Like Snickers has been one of my favorite candy bars since I had teeth. Like since I was a baby. And then in my early 20s, Twix really took over. So before I got old and became lactose intolerant, do you remember Twix ice cream?
I do.
I used to just murder some Twix ice cream. Mm-hmm. And then when my wife was pregnant with the girls, she loved Reese's peanut butter cups. So I've got like a legitimate like part of my life where I was eating one or the other, and Kit Kat's the only one that doesn't have a like warm place in my heart, but it's cool. It's not bad. But if one has to go for me, it's going to be Kit Kat. So I know you're like, how about no? I like that.
if it's not Reese's, and it's definitely not Snickers.
Yeah, for sure.
And like, I love me some Twix, but like, it's sometimes eating a Kit Kat, just taking a huge ass bite out of it, it drives people nuts, and I kind of enjoy that.
Oh yeah. People get triggered if you don't people like break triggered. It off. Oh yeah, they get triggered big time. Big time.
There's probably people listening right now who are going, what? You do what?
Yeah, they're like, you monster. You monster, you Neanderthal. All right, that's enough goofing around for now. Let's go ahead and roll to break. We will don't want to do that. We will roll to break and we will play some dad jokes. Dad jokes are funny this week, so there's another prop this week. I don't know if you've watched the video of it, there's another prop in there, so you guys will enjoy the prop. I think it's the fifth or sixth dad joke, but there's a prop in there, so it'll be nice and funny. So let's roll the music, roll the break, and we will be back on the other side.
I am not a casual. I am not insert a cow sound effect here. I am neither a Vassafal. I am Milo from the Incensed Podcast, but you are listening to The Wayspotters.
Hi there, I'm Mark, Masterful27 from the Incense Pokemon Go podcast. Yeah, that is what it's called. And I'm listening to the Wayspotters podcast. And I suggest that you all do the same.
Are you serious? This again? It's season 3.
Why can't you send a duck into space? Because the bill will be astronomical. Can anybody tell me what obvious means? Because I have no idea. We are renovating the house. The first floor is going great. The second floor, well, that's another story. If money doesn't grow on trees, then why do banks have branches? Why is it always hot in the corner of a room? Because a corner is 90 degrees. My wife asked me to put ketchup on the grocery list. And now I can't read what else is on. How do you make a fire with two sticks? Make sure one is a match. All right, everybody, welcome back from the break. You are listening to the Wayspotters podcast with Chris and Jamal. Thank you for going through the break. Hopefully you enjoyed the dad jokes, and hopefully you enjoyed the prop. And for those of you who are watching, you know what the prop was. All right, so let's roll right into our next segment, and that is a segment that we like to call Wayspot of the Week.
Let's take a look at a beautiful example of what the Wayspotters podcast thinks you should be nominating. We proudly present the Wayspot of the Week.
All right. So Wayspot of the Week this week comes to us from the WDD, Notorious POG. And this one is called Malibu Village Playground. And what you're looking at here, for those people who are listening on audio, this looks to be, watch this, Chris, about 3 meters high. You like that?
Ooh.
It's about 3 meters high, and it's a giant red hammer with arms and legs. So think the hammerhead is on top, and then there's a skinny body, and arms come out to the side, and then it sprouts legs, and it's got these huge platform feet, but it's a gigantic hammerhead, and it's about, you know, 8-9 feet, 3 meters high, with a humongous nose that is the hammer. Now, funny story about this, when the Notorious POG posted this in WDD, it was a duplicate. So it was already in, it's already on the Lightship map, but it must have been blocked by another cell. So somebody nominated it, but it was a duplicate. So it's not in Pokemon Go. So it's Big Red Public Art Installation in Malibu, California, Malibu Village Playground. But just a gorgeous, 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 gorgeous picture. They framed it perfectly. It really gives the scale. You can see the building in the background with the sky, and it just looks like that thing is ready for hammer time.
Hammer time. Yeah, that's, I love it. This is great. This is fantastic.
Yep. So that is Wayspot of the Week. So, Chris, let's talk about like the complete polar opposite of Wayspot of the Week. So if that's good, we should probably talk about the bad.
Yeah.
I've been working on the Wayfair all the livelong day. I've been working on the Wayfair just to pass the... Uh-oh. Oh, no. Hey, Jamal, I found some coal.
All right, so I'll take this one, Chris, because it's got my one of my favorite things in it, and I just want to say it. So, you know what's really funny? Okay, so for those of you watching on the YouTube... This, and even the people listening, this coal comes to us from Bread in the WDD. Now, again, when I put together the show notes, I had no idea Bread was going to be a Wayfair ambassador. I just happened to like this one because it's got a dog in the picture. But Bread, welcome to the show, Wayfair ambassador. Just completely, 100%, I promise you, Chris can back me up. I had no idea we were going to be talking about Bread earlier in the show. I sent Chris these notes a day and a half ago, and it just happened. Anyhow, this waste spot of the week is called Eagle Mural. What a beautiful mural with the national bird on it. Every passerby is drawn to this mural. So what you're looking at is a mural. It's the 24th Street Elementary School. What? 24th Street. Okay. So it's a mural outside of an elementary school. So we'll get into the issues here, but there's a couple of problems with it. Mural is good. Ding. That's good. Elementary school is bad. Now, in the main picture, not the supporting picture, in the main picture, there's two things that make this call of the week. One is a guy, some dude wearing a jean jacket, throwing up the peace sign. Right, just grinning like a Gengar, just and he has a leash with a dog. So there's a live animal, live animal, live animal. other than the things that negated it, it's the perfect waste spot. Now, what's interesting and ironic about it is the supporting photo has no live animal and no dude throwing up the peace sign. Now, if it didn't say 24th Street Elementary School, so we know it's a school, which we'd see on the overhead map. This is a beautiful mural, Chris. Like, it's really cool, but there's a live animal, there's a dude throwing up a peace sign, and it's on a school. So it's call of the week.
Yeah. I mean, putting aside the fact that it's at a school, it almost looks like they took the photos and then launched Pogo and nominated it and picked the photos in the wrong order.
Yes. Yes.
No, they put the one that they took as the supporting photo, which is the dude with the peace sign, as their main photo instead of the supporting photo. And then they took the main photo and put it as the supporting photo.
Yes.
It wouldn't help them. They would have got rejected anyway, but I think that they
now, kind of goofed. I will say this, Chris. We would need to see the entire nomination because it could be an advertisement for the elementary school and it might not be on the elementary school, but we don't have the whole nomination. We just have the snippet, but if I was going to vote on it based on this, it would be I'd be giving it a thumbs down.
Yep. Yep. 100%.
Yep. All right. I'm going to have you take this next one. This is hilarious. I love this one.
This call comes to us from Vlad CD in the Wayfarer Discussion Discord. This is a good one. The title is 444. The description is 444. It's a picture of Detective Pikachu. It looks like a promotional image from taking off a poster. It's not even the whole Pikachu. It looks like it's cropped out of the movie poster. I bet you that's what it's from.
Yeah.
And it looks to be at someone's house. So this is somebody trying to get a house stop.
And not even a clever house stop. It's not like they took a picture of a trail marker and hoped that people weren't paying attention. They cropped out Detective Pikachu from the movie. And I don't know what the 444 has to do anything. Is that the address of the house, maybe?
Maybe.
I don't
it's,
know.
So it, it's that is from, it's a Pikachu wallpaper is what that is. I just Googled searched it. Nice. It might be because the address is listed as 348. So maybe it's.
Yeah, could be a across off the street.
There, so maybe 444 on that street, yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that's a third-party photo. It's terrible. This is, there's so much wrong with this one.
So much wrong with it. Like, we could have, like, almost a half an episode just on what's wrong with this, so.
Yeah,
no kidding. Pretty interesting calls of the week. So, we're not recording at our normal time, so it's, like, dark outside, and it's rainy, and it's lightning and thunder, and my wife wants me to go get her dinner, so we should probably wrap this up and let people get back to their normal Sunday. I will say this before we sign off. This past weekend, not the weekend you're listening to this, but this past weekend, Pokemon Go had an event, the Sinnoh Tour, and I did get a chance to get out and play. So for those wondering, I do play Pogo. I do play Ingress. I've been in going, doing my daily. I don't remember what they're called in Ingress. There's something you got to do every day where you got to hack four things and charge something up and create two links. It's not missions. It's something else. But I do play other Niantic games besides Wayfair. Wayfair is just my favorite. But as I told you guys, I play a lot of Pokemon Go. I'm almost at 400 million XP, and I'm kind of addicted. So that's from the conversation we had earlier. That's what I was doing in Pokemon Go this week. Mm-hmm.
I hit level 49 since the last time I updated anybody. So yeah, I didn't get a chance to play the Sinnoh Tour very much. It was my birthday weekend, and with the lack of a shiny boost, I was just like, meh, whatever. So I did get a shiny Uxie.
Yeah. So now here's the deal, Chris. When you, I want to do one thing. When you throw your 1,000th excellent throw, I want to try to do it live or something, or we go live or do it on the show or go on Instagram live. But I want to see, I want to get your reaction when you do it. So we'll have to figure out a way to do that.
Yeah, I still got 12 million experience to get to level 50. So
okay. I can loan you some.
No kidding. Eh?
So I'll tell you, I am at 382,737,425 XP.
I'm at 164,025,104.
And I expect you to catch me. I do. Yeah. You to catch me. I do.
Maybe. Yep. One day.
Yep. One day. Maybe GoFest this year. So
I actually think I'll hit 50 at GoFest.
Sweet. That would be awesome. We got to get that on video there. So then we just got to get Adam and Justin to 50, and we'll have all of the podcasters at level 50.
Nice.
Yeah. But, you know, every time I say something to Adam or Justin about them doing something, they're like, you need to go buy a pack of cards. And then I just shut up. I'm like, okay. All right. Okay. You got me.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. So thank you guys. Really appreciate you guys listening. We can't have an episode of Wastepotters without shouting out our executive producer, Kate the Cons. Kate, you rock. You know it. You give us great ideas for the show. We do our best to bring them in, and every now and then you give us something, and I'm like, I've never thought of it that way. So, Kate, you rock. We love you. We love all the patrons also. So we appreciate everybody supporting the Wastepotters podcast. Now, we want to thank you for listening to this specific episode, and if you enjoyed what you heard, there's a couple of ways that you can show us that you love us. So the first you can do is go on Twitter or X or whatever we're calling it this week and follow us. We're at Wastepotters. And we are there on Wastepotters. We are also on Instagram at Wastepotters Podcast. Now, you can also find us where the cool kids, where all the Gen Zers hang out, is on TikTok at I Make Wastepots. That's where my daughter interacts the most with us, is on TikTok. She's like, Dad, I saw your TikTok. And I'm like, what? TikTok is awesome. What are you doing on TikTok, Dad? I'm like, I own TikTok. Anyhow. Follow us on TikTok, I Make Wastepots. We try to be incredibly responsive with our listeners, and we love interacting with you guys. So the second thing you can do is you can follow us on our website. You can go to our website, www.wastepotters.com. From there, you can get links to everywhere you can download the show. You can also send us a message directly from the website, or you can email us, wastepotters@pokemonprofessor.com. So some of you may be watching us on YouTube, and God bless you. You can see me in my suit and tie today. Actually, my sport jacket and my tie. I'll have a suit on Monday. But if you're not watching us on YouTube, you can go to www.youtube.com/@wastepotterspodcast, and you can see all of the things that Chris does with the shorts and everything. You can watch all of that. You can watch the entire episode. And the cool thing that Chris does on YouTube is you can look at the bottom and it's indexed. So you can skip to your favorite part of the show and then you can go back. So if you want to go through and just see Cole of the Week and then go back and see the news and then go back and see the dad jokes and go back and see topic one or topic two, Chris has those indexed, and I'm sure that takes hours, and God bless him. He's doing the Lord's work. So that's what you can do there. Now, for our American listeners or anyone who wants to dial an American phone number, you can reach us at 704-426-3710. And for those of you who left Chris a birthday message, that's how you did it. And I saw the phone ringing, and I didn't answer it, and you should be proud of me. We didn't have an awkward conversation. So you never know. Your voicemail may appear on an upcoming episode of the show, or you can tweet us a message directly from Twitter. So finally, if you are not a member of the Pokemon Professor Network Patreon, you can join for as little as $1 a month. All you need to do is go to patreon.com/Pokemon Professor. From there, you will have access to the Discord for the entire family of shows across the Pokemon Professor Network, including Wastebotters, Special Conditions, Gotta Watch Them All, Purified Podcasts, and Lured Up. It's a fantastic place filled with fantastic people. And can you do me a favor? On the podcatcher you're listening to us on now, can you give us a rating? I love 5 stars. Chris loves 5 stars, but we want you to rate us what you think we earned. And if you want to be a superstar, you could write us a review on a podcatcher that allows you to do so. I promise one of us will read it on the show. Now, before we sign off, I think we might need to put on a breaking news. We have something else we want to say, so let's just do this.
And now, the latest Niantic news from the Wastebotters podcast, presented by the Pokemon Professor Network.
So while Jamal signs us off, usually I just kind of scroll my phone while he's talking, and I noticed this. They're reducing the amount of time you have to wait for appeals from 30 to 25 days.
Really?
Yep.
Wow, that is breaking news.
One appeal every 25 days. That's a 20% increase in the number of appeals.
Yeah. Awesome. I love that. Huge. That's great. Yes. Huge. That was worth breaking in for. That was amazing. Yeah,
absolutely. I saw that, and yes. I was just like, if you're watching the YouTube, right in the middle of Jamal's sign-off, I kind of freaked out a little bit.
And then he sends me a message on Discord, and I was like, and I'm like, and I'm reading it, and I'm like, oh, okay. And I'm like, let me hurry up and get through this.
Yeah, if you notice, Jamal kind of paused in the middle of his sign-off. That's why he was reading my message.
So. All right, and with that, we look forward to you listening to us again next week, episode of Wastebotters. We appreciate you. And remember, what's a few meters between friends?